Welcome back. It's Monday again, and we got a great week of shows, great day of shows today. Second hour, a good friend of ours who is usually here on a Tuesday, I think, when or maybe even on Groovy Music Thursdays, will be here for an open forum. We got an extra open forum this week. So hang on second hour for if you have open forum type questions. First hour, we're going to talk about the beauty of the sacraments, and it's something that really needs to be talked about, the beauty of the sacraments, because it is clear that, well, a good number of people, a good number of Catholics even, are not getting the message about the sacraments, about what they are, about why they have power, and about why they are essential to the fullness of life. To have the fullness of life, we need to have the sacraments in our lives. And there's a beautiful new book called Spirit and Life, The Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church from Sophia Institute Press. And you hear me say this from time to time, but Sophia Institute Press makes beautiful books consistently over and over again. And they have outdone themselves on this book. It's a book of images and writing combined to it's kind of a coffee table book, really, to draw you in to the beauty of the sacraments. If you're ready to talk about the beauty of the sacraments this hour, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest this hour is the creator of this beautiful book, Spirit and Life, The Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church. She is Rose Ray, the founder of Radiant and Valiant magazines, Catholic magazines for young men and women that are now owned by our Sunday Visitor. Rose grew up in North Dakota, but she's a fellow San Diegan now with her military husband and their five children. Rose, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
All right, so you're the creator of this book. What does that mean? You're not the author of it. You're the creator of it, you say.
Yeah, I can't take any credit. I'm not a writer. God tends to use us to do funny things that we're not always comfortable doing. But I'm kind of the vessel. I was inspired in prayer to just bring a lot of heart and life and love back to the sacraments, which give us our eternal life. So we use a bunch of different fantastically talented writers.
And at least one beautiful photographer. I don't know who did the photography, but it's beautiful. This is the kind of thing that I kind of wish I could go back in time with it and put it on our coffee table when the kids were small, because even if if reading in it might be difficult for them, there's a way in which they will be drawn into the beauty of it.
Yeah, Hans von Balthasar said that you need to capture them with the beauty, enchant them with the good, and then lead them to the true. So what we're trying to do is really make it pop out to someone that says, wow, that is beautiful. And you're right, even if they can't read, they can look at these stunning pictures throughout. And when they're ready, they can jump in and get some really neat meditations read.
888-318-7884, the number. We're talking about the beauty of the sacraments this hour. And as you were intimating, the three transcendentals we usually attribute to God, truth, beauty, and goodness. Maybe the one that has been somewhat, I don't want to say under attack because it hasn't been, but really kind of misplaced in recent years in our Catholic life. Something we're supposed to be really good at is beautiful images, beautiful statuary, beautiful buildings, and beautiful music. And we seem to have misplaced that a little bit.
Yeah, I remember growing up, little girl in a small town, and even my local parish, you know, wonderful, holy people, but it's not like you walk in and see this ornate altar with sparkling gold candles. And I mean, not everyone has access to that. And it's still true today. I mean, whether you have all this money to build these gorgeous churches, we want to show them that the beauty is a reflection of their creator, who is beauty itself. And I think that our church has just chosen maybe different routes to show that beauty, but we're losing people and we're losing them faster than we can reinvigorate them. And I think the battle is really for their hearts. And if we can pierce their hearts with beauty, Cy,
yeah,
we can start to invite them into this encounter with
right.
the living God.
Yeah, there are some who have suggested it's kind of a little bit of an elitism that says, well, it's if you need to get the faith intellectually, you know,
yep.
and that but just walking into a church is actually more powerful for most people, even than, say, reading Thomas Aquinas. If Thomas Aquinas is unintelligible to me, if I, you know, I don't know, say I'm in Chicago and I walk into Thomas Aquinas Church, beautiful, wonderful, ornate church, that can get me where the man himself can't.
I mean, there are no words. How can you even go deeper if you haven't even come in yet? So that's our job. And what we're trying to do with this book is to say, invite them in with this moment of, you know, when you see something that's so beautiful, it just takes you out of yourself and into the divine.
The beauty of the sacraments is our topic. 888-31 Truth is our number. Rose Ray, the creator of Spirit and Life, the Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church, is our guest. And I don't know, have you been made aware of this statistic that everybody in the Catholic world seems to be talking about, that about almost 70% of Catholics don't get what the Eucharist is, or if they do get it, they don't accept what the Church teaches about it?
It's so sad.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't happen in one day. You know, this has happened for how many generations that say, okay, take a little bit back here. You don't need this. We'll just tell you this is good and you'll be fine. Well, they're not fine. Now we have almost 70% of Catholics who claim to be Catholic.
Yeah.
Not believing in the real presence. And the only, you know, humble analogy I can think of is being a mom of my 5 kids and, you know, even nursing my baby and seeing that my flesh is giving her life, co-creating with her, led by our Lord. I take no credit, but holding her that close to me and then, you know, making use of my hands and my feet to feed my children, to kiss them, to love them, becoming one with my husband, you know, to give life to our children that God blesses us with. Why wouldn't it be real life? For anyone who can't understand or doesn't want to say when Jesus says, take my flesh and eat it.
Yes.
Right. That is the ultimate gift of love. There's nothing more I can give to my children than my very self. Why wouldn't Christ want us to have himself? So we just need to reinvigorate and show them that this is real and he's waiting. He's waiting to give himself to them completely.
Do you think if we, I mean, I suppose that's, I guess I know the answer to this. If we were to strive to surround the sacraments in a noble beauty, you know, not fake. I don't mean fake like, you know, a production or something, but I mean genuine beauty in our singing, in the images in the church, in the structures of the churches. It might be easier for people to get what these sacraments are.
I think yes, to an extent, but the beauty exists in the act of the sacrament itself.
Okay.
So when Christ says, take my body and eat it, or when he says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit, more than when the priest says that to us, or when Jesus says, you have no life within you, you know, without that, I think that's where the beauty lies. But we have to communicate that to them by showing them that's how they're born anew, is by accepting his words and being baptized and falling back on our knees and being willing to go to the confessional and say, you know better, Lord.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. Spirit and Life, the Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church, is the new book from creator Rose Ray from Sophia Institute Press. It is a beautiful book. I highly recommend you visit sophiainstitute.com check out your copy and get your copy. If you have children, I'd leave it around myself. I'd just put it out where they can find it, because they might find one of the pictures and it will fascinate them forever. And then one of these days, they'll start reading the text as well. And they'll start to have an understanding of the sacraments from reading the text. How did you organize the text? What's the basic kind of how you put this together?
So every chapter, what we did was, and this came through prayer, I want to point out. I didn't sit around making this up. Only our dear Lord could help me do this. But we start at the beginning. Where does this come from? The sacraments come from Christ's words. They're not made up on some shelf where someone says, this would be fun. Christ's own words. And we specify where in Scripture that is, sacred Scripture. And then what does our church teach on that sacrament? You know, not everyone's going to have 5 resources around them. If someone's like, tell me why you do the Eucharist. What is communion? So this is such a great resource, because then we go into what the catechism teaches. The next part is the founding father of the church. I really believe that language matters. And if you have this dull, boring words, this is what it means. How does that, invigorate your heart and make you want to sing for joy, huh? Not me.
Right, right.
So the founding fathers have some of the most beautiful words about our faith that I've ever seen. There's a reason God chose them. So there's a small meditation by the founding fathers on that specific sacrament. And then it goes into why does it matter to us today in this century now? And we have a modern writer, it's a sharing of reflection, a male and a female.
Again, the book is called Spirit and Life, the Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church. Rose Ray, the creator, is our guest, and we'd love to talk with you about the beauty of the sacraments. You're welcome to give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break and be right back with calls for Rose right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Vatican officials will meet to decide the fate of disgraced former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick.
Pro-life leaders applauding the president's strong stand for life.
A new poll finds most Americans, including those identifying as pro-choice, are opposed to late-term abortion.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
News headlines you can have faith in. Weekdays at the top of the hour on EWTN Radio.
Hey, I just have a note here about the Catholic Rhineland, Charlemagne, the Magi, and Mystics pilgrimage next June. We're going to head down the Rhineland, and part of it will be on the Rhine River, June 9th through 19th next year aboard a privately chartered river ship, Uniworld's River Empress. We're going to visit some of the great sites of Christendom in the very heart of Europe. Chris Check's going. I'm going. Father Hugh Barber will be there. The whole thing is worth it just to go with Father Hugh Barber. But our very special guest is Archbishop Salvatore Corleone from San Francisco. It's everything's included. It's in all the excursions, all your beverages, wine, beer, all that, all transports and gratuities. There's Wi-Fi and internet available throughout the ship. And I think the reason I have this note is because the ship is half full and we're almost a year away. So I just want to let you know, if you would like to sail with us next June, you can go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com. There'll be masses on board, confessions, dining with Catholic Answers apologists each night. CatholicAnswersCruise.com. Sail right through the heart of Christendom, old Christendom and new. Go to CatholicAnswersCruise.com to find out more. Hey, the book that I've got right here in my hands, one of the most beautiful books I've seen in a long time, Spirit and Life, the Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church. It's about the beauty of the sacraments. Rose Ray is its creator, and she is with us this hour. We're talking about the beauty of the sacraments. Rose, a bunch of people want to talk to you on the phone. Shall we go to the phones?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start with Paco in Auburn, New York, watching on YouTube Live. Hang on a second, Paco. I got to find the right button to push. Paco, you there with us?
Hello?
Hi, Paco. Your question for Rose.
Okay. It's about the sacrament of baptism, and it's specific to an apologetic conversation I'm having with a former nun who absolutely hates the Catholic Church now. And her view is that sin is a legal debt that's paid by Christ on our behalf. And it seems like if baptism is necessary, and certainly as understood by the Catholic Church, it would seem that that view of sin as legal debt is invalid and in conflict with our understanding of baptism, the sacrament. So I was wondering if the author might kind of weigh in there.
Okay, so you want to know if the Catholic understanding of sin is that it is simply a debt to be paid.
Yeah, but if baptism, as we understand it and as is taught as necessary, is incompatible with that understanding of sin as a legal debt. That's my question.
Well, all right. Do you want to tackle that? Or I I guess my hesitation is that there are a great number of metaphors for sin and for salvation throughout the Bible, and an obsession on one of them weakens the others, so that one cannot one doesn't get the fullness of what the Scripture says. Probably the first letter of Peter, the third chapter, in the first letter of Peter, Peter himself tells us what baptism is, and that baptism saves you, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone to heaven and is at the right hand of God. So the most obvious thing, you've probably noticed this, it's done with water. What we do with water is cleaning. We don't pay debts with water. We clean with water. So it strikes me that the sister, and I mean sister in Christ, who says this, who used to be a woman religious sister, is far oversimplifying something that doesn't permit being oversimplified. Is that at all helpful to you, Paco?
Yes, because I said something extremely similar to what you just said.
Well, you're brilliant then. First of all, I'd just like to say you are brilliant, Paco.
So, okay. I appreciate that because I tried and I used very similar language and I haven't gotten anywhere so far, but I appreciate your answer.
Well, it's kind of heartbreaking that hating the Catholic Church, but a person who was a woman religious and now hates the Catholic Church, what can you do? You got to pray. It seems there's some trauma there. There's some hurt there. Mm-hmm. There's some disappointment perhaps that happened somewhere along the line. Someone let her down. And that needs healing. I don't know that explanation will do it. Did you want to say anything about baptism? You do cover baptism in here, I assume,
Absolutely.
In the book Spirit and Life.
Absolutely. And we go into so many beautiful different things about it. But the core, just like in sacred scripture and what you said, is unless we are born anew of the Spirit, we do not have life within us.
But tell the story, though, of baptism, because you said, you gave the form of this book. And one of the stories of baptism is from a mother whose child is born prematurely.
Yes, yes. Her name is Katie. She had this beautiful son, Jack Michael Paco, and he's facing death. He was not doing well, this beautiful little boy. And she was able to calm the priest, and she was able to watch, with a mother's heart, watch her baby baptized, bathed of original sin that we were all born into as human beings, and was able to, cradle him and love him. And then he passed on to the next life. But how much more important it is. And the only thing I'll say in all of your arguments with this sweet sister in Christ, how you said, is you can't accept some scripture and not others. If it says it so many different places, it's not a pick and choose type religion for anyone. It's either not true or it is true. So there's plenty of places in scripture they can find more information.
Paco, thank you very, very much for the call. We are discussing the sacraments, but in particular, we're discussing the beauty of the sacraments. And you were saying that I was trying to say, if we surround the sacraments with greater beauty and reverence, then maybe people will get what they are. But you made the point earlier that there's beauty in the form that each sacrament has. They each have their own. They come beautiful already, I guess is the way to put it.
And the act of the sacrament is a physical, tangible reality experience of an invisible grace. We are receiving the grace of God through the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is strength, spiritual strength for our earthly journey. And that itself is a gift of love and a gift of beauty. So I think that's the disconnect with so many people. And it comes to the lie that Satan sows in all of our hearts, pride. I don't need that. I did sin on my own and in the dark room. No one saw me. I'm fine. But we're still connected. We're a body of Christ. And we saw this Dominican sister, I'm telling you, her reflection there in confession, to reiterate, if you are suffering in sin, especially mortal sin that the saints talk about, your soul, black as coal, how can you help others? How can you feed people who need to be fed, clothe the naked, do all these wonderful things if you ourselves are suffering? So it's the gift. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit that cleanses and strengthens us.
Rose Ray is our guest. Spirit and Life, the Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church is the book from Sophia Institute Press, and I highly recommend you get it. I think if you have young people at home, teenagers, maybe young adults, even small children, I can remember the occasional book left around the house that had a religious photograph or image, and it really can capture you as a child. It's funny. There was a book in my house. It was a picture book of Pope Paul VI's visit to the United States. You know, he was the first pope that came to the United States. He went to the United Nations, and just the pictures in that book, there's something about the just seeing it, you know, that it captures you.
Yes.
And so that's why I'm so glad that this is not just a book of reading. Here's another kind of devotional reading for you, although that's in here. Mm-hmm. It's a book of images as well.
Yes, that was one of the most important pieces. Lord, how can I show your beauty to the world? And I prayed so hard, and God gave us this beautiful photographer named Peter Weldon in Chicago, and he went around to these historic churches and just shot them. So even the man behind the lens had a heart of gold. And I just know that, you know, creating me a clean heart, O Lord, you know, I mean, he is just a wonderful man.
888-318-7884 is the number. Josh in Columbia, Maryland, watching on YouTube Live. You are next up. Josh, your question for Rose Ray. Hi, Josh. Okay, hang on, Josh. Josh, you have a question for Rose? No? No, Nick, you confused me. That was Josh. Sorry. Usually that's my fault. I go to the wrong line, but I actually had not gone to the wrong line. Josh is not available at the moment, so we'll go to Jesus in Houston, Texas, watching on YouTube Live. Jesus, your question for Rose Ray.
Hello. My question is, I'm a revert to the Catholic faith. My wife is not quite there yet. We have a four-month-old baby, and I'm grateful she's willing to baptize her baby.
Amen.
However,
Amen.
We don't know any good Catholics, and she's thinking about her brother, who is a fallen away Catholic. He's a Protestant now, and he doesn't believe in infant baptism, but he's willing to be the godfather. Is that valid?
I don't think the church will let you have someone who's not Catholic, because in order to raise the children up in Catholicism as parents and then as godparents, it's a very important role. So I would just ask you to take it to prayer. God wants this beautiful baby to be in his church more than you do as parents, and he will give you beautiful godparents, and we'll keep you in our prayers too, but don't settle.
Jesus, you can ask the pastor of the parish if there's someone who can stand as godfather to the child, because you need at least one.
Yep.
Of the godparents to be a Catholic in good standing. And then the pastor will tell you, you know, what to do with family and all that. But there's no need to delay the baptism of the child, because the pastor will be able to help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to go to, I don't know if they have like Uber for godparents or something. Does that help you, Jesus? Okay, thank you very much. Can't hear him so too easily. 888-318-7884 is the number. Rose Ray is our guest. The book is Spirit and Life, the Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church. It's a book of images. It's a book of text. And the text is very varied, starting with items from the Catechism and from the Holy Scripture, including writings from the Church Fathers, and then modern writings on each of the sacraments. 888-318-7884. Who'd you get to do confirmation? It's a tough one these days. It's a little bit controversial, I guess. Confirmation
is so my heart in this. And one thing I will say, the designer Gemma just really wanted to lay out this book size, so it's very soothing. You'll notice it's halfway down almost. The words and the photos are very calm. And, you know, the sacraments themselves are, you know, God gives us as this soothing balm to our broken brokenness. So we worked hard. But confirmation, I have a really funny story for you. Am I allowed to tell you?
Yes.
So me, again, we make plans, God laughs. I had all this stuff lined up. The wonderful Kendra Tierney wrote this beautiful one about choosing St. Joan of Arc as her confirmation saint.
Uh-huh.
And how, you know, she's such a warrior and using her as a good example. Well, we had the male reflection we still needed left to fill in, you know. And confirmation pretty much consists today with our young people. Check it off the box, show up at your masses, and then they're out. You don't see them again, usually.
I know.
A lot of them. That's what, because, again, we're feeding them doctrine. And we're not feeding them the heart of the sacrament. What it really means. And so I said, Lord, you asked me to do this book. You gave me the photographer, the designer, the writers. I've got one reflection left. Who do you want to do it? And in my unsmartness, I'm thinking, well, music, we feel the Holy Spirit when we sing. And so I want a musician. So I reached out to this super talented musician. He said he'd love to do it. Like the week before it's due, he's like, I can't do it. Touring, can't do it. So I was like, okay, God, I'm at his feet like a little child. And I said, you've got to give this to me. Offered up mass that day for him to show me. And sure enough, that same day, I'm talking to a seminarian named Matthew and telling him about this book, keep it in our prayers. And he starts spitting out almost like a waterfall. Well, you know that when we're confirmed, it's into the church militant and we're fighting to get to the church triumphant. And my confirmation saint, St. Martin of Tours, you know, this and that. And it was crazy.
There was your man for writing about the sacrament of confirmation. Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. Rose Ray is our guest. We're talking about the beauty of the sacraments. If you would like to get in on the conversation about the beauty of the sacraments, give us a call, 888-31-TRUTH. Right back after this.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
Is the church wrong on contraception? In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it's outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all of that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception. Using scripture, papal and magisterial teachings, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent puts forward a compelling case for Catholic teachings with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament. From the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important, this pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We got a problem in the Catholic Church. I think we all are quite familiar with it now that the Pew Research, I think it was Pew Research that came out with that statistic a week or two ago, that kind of is a punch in the gut for those who work in catechesis and evangelization. And I'm sure it's a punch in the gut for bishops and priests who are, you know, doing their best. Parents who are really, through no fault of their own, parents doing the very best that parents can do, and children coming out not accepting what the church teaches about the Eucharist, or not getting it, what the church teaches about the Eucharist. About two-thirds of Catholics not getting that the church teaches that the Eucharist is wholly Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And replacing that with some idea about the Eucharist as a symbol or as bread with Jesus mixed in or whatever it is that people come up with, but all falling short of the idea that Christ presents himself, shares himself, gives himself fully to us in the Eucharist. It is kind of a gut punch. And our guest this hour is Rose Ray. She's the founder of two magazines, Radiant and Valiant, magazines for young Catholic boys and young men and girls and young women. And now she has a brand new book, Spirit and Life, the Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church. And the idea here is that sacraments are beautiful. And so the book is beautiful. And the idea is to be drawn into the beauty of the sacraments. Have I got the basic idea correct there?
Yes, sir.
And that maybe people will get it. So we're talking about the beauty of the sacraments this hour. Your calls, as always, are welcome. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We go now to Matthew in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on 102.9 FM. Matthew, your question for Rose.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much. My question revolves around, at the essence, redemption. My friend and I, we went through catechesis together and got confirmed together. But since then, in high school, he has strayed from that, from those teachings. And he believes, we've had many long conversations about how he believes that, since then, since straying from that path, he is almost beyond redemption, that he has betrayed those vows that he made during confirmation, and that it is, at this point, irredeemable for him to return.
Okay, Josh, we're having trouble because there's so much noise in the background there. I don't know if you're on speakerphone or something and you could take it off the speakerphone. But let me just repeat to you what I'm getting, which is that you have this friend believes he has violated his the sacramental commitments that he made at the reception of confirmation. And you would like some information on, well, what do you do now that you have betrayed your own confirmation? Am I in the ballpark there, Josh?
It's very, very, yes. That's, yeah.
Okay. Rose, what do you got?
I have something beautiful to share with your friend. He's not alone. We all feel like that. At some point in our life, we feel that our sin is irredeemable, but Jesus has already redeemed us, but it is up to us to return to him and apologize and cry for what St. Augustine calls it, the cry of reflection. And I want to read this little word that he says, or these few sentences, because they are so moving. St. Augustine, who is one of the most promiscuous saints we probably have, you'll have to read about him, who is a great leader of our church. He said to our Father, "And from you, O Lord, unto whose eyes the depths of man's conscience are naked, what in me could be hidden, though I were unwilling to confess to you? For so should I hide myself from you, not myself from you, but now, because my groaning witnesses that I'm dissatisfied with myself, thou shinest forth and satisfiest, and art beloved and desired, that I may blush for myself and renounce myself and choose you." And he goes on to say that with what fruit I may confess to you, I have spoken. And so what he's saying is, you know me, Lord, better than I know myself, and nothing is too far from being forgiven in the beautiful sacrament of confession.
Matthew.
That's really powerful. Thank you.
You should get the book then. There's stuff like that all through it. Matthew, thank you for the question. Spirit and Life, the Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church is the name of the book. Rose Ray is the author. Remember we tried to talk with Josh before, and then we didn't have Josh, and now Josh is back. Josh in Columbia, Maryland, watching on YouTube Live. You are up next. Your question, Josh.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Yes.
You can.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, sorry about that.
No problem, Josh.
So my question is how is that when during the Eucharist, when does the body and blood become, when does the wine and bread become the body and blood of Christ? And how does it, like, forgive sins or expiate sins? What does the church teach about that?
You want to?
Well, I can talk about transubstantiation, or it's when the, you know, the priest, if you've seen a mass, Josh, when he lifts it up and he says, "This is my body, take it and eat it." And he goes into, I don't know verbatim, I'm not a priest, but that is the moment that we believe that it turns into Christ's real body and blood. The priest is in persona Christi, in person of Christ.
There, you will find in some Eastern traditions a different moment in the mass pointed to, whether it's the invocation of the Holy Spirit. It's fair to say Jesus comes.
Yes. I mean, the Holy Spirit comes.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes and makes present Christ holy, yes. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. So it has not generally been the church's policy to be overly obsessed with precision of the exact moment, but trust that that the sacrament does in fact confect what it says it confects. The second part of your question, though, I may have missed it.
How does it forgive sins or expiate sins?
Okay, I think the simplest thing to say is the Eucharist is Christ, and Christ is the expiation for our sins. And so what is represented in the Eucharistic sacrament is the death of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. That's why it's referred to as the unbloody sacrifice of Christ. So we Catholics would hold with all Christians, I think universally Christian people would say, that in the sacrifice of his own life on the cross, as priest and victim on the cross, our sins are expiated by Christ. And Catholics, and all Christians really, until just about 500 years ago, would say in the Eucharist, that sacrifice is represented, which I think is part of why, even if you can't receive communion this week, whether it's because of you've fallen into sin that you're not ready to receive communion, or because you didn't keep the fast, or you are, if for some other reason you cannot make it up to receive communion. Mass, participating in the sacrifice of the Mass, is extremely powerful on its own. To be present at the representation of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross is to be present at the greatest outpouring of grace. And so it's it's for all of us to be there, even if you're excommunicated. I'm not saying, Josh, that you are currently excommunicated, but even if you are excommunicated, you should be at Mass, because that's how powerful it is.
So powerful. If anyone knew how powerful Mass was, they would all be there.
Josh, thanks very much. Again, Rose Ray is our guest, Malachi in North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. You are next, Malachi. We're talking about the beauty of the sacraments. Your question for Rose.
Oh, all right. Thank you. So I had a question actually about the significance of child baptism, and what does the Bible have to say about it?
Well, we've deducted how important baptism is from all the different beautiful citations in Scripture. As far as if it has to be an infant, I don't think it specifies that, but Cy can take
no,
that.
No, of course not. No, yeah. You can be baptized at any age. There's nothing in Scripture that gives an age of baptism.
Right.
However, Scripture does say that baptism saves you, that without qualification, Scripture says that. But there are some people, Rose, who object and say, well, but Jesus didn't baptize infants, which is true. We don't have any record of Jesus baptizing infants, but we do have the whole tradition of the church baptizing infants, and we have people being baptized with their entire household, like Paul in the first letter of the Corinthians. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. That's an indication that the entire family is baptized, doesn't exclude infants. There's also Paul and Silas baptized. I think it's the jailer, the whole household of the jailer. Lydia was converted by Paul's preaching. She was baptized with her household. So Catholics take that as biblical evidence that entire households were baptized, and that means that the Lord intends everybody to be baptized.
And Malachi, going back to what is baptism? Not only saving you, but it's giving you that grace and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And knowing that that gift is going to be given, I'm sure we just want to give it as soon as possible. Even going back to St. Paul, I was just looking at this beautiful painting. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's by Caravaggio, of calling this the conversion of St. Paul on the way to Damascus. And there he is literally knocked off of his horse. You see him prostrate on the ground, looking up, because he's so self-absorbed and full of his own ideals and his own wants, that the light from heaven, God calls out to him and he says, "Why are you persecuting me, Paul?" Or Saul at that point, I think he says. But regardless, he becomes blind and he's not able to see again for 3 more days until Ananias lays his hands upon him. I think the symbolism is so important. And when he does that, Paul receives the gift of the Holy Spirit and the scales fall from his eyes. And he goes on to be one of the greatest missionaries we have ever had. 1/4 of the epistles in the New Testament are because of St. Paul. So if everyone knew that kind of power was available to them and the gift of the Holy Spirit, I mean, day one, give me that baby, give me that person, let's baptize it. Let's bring him into this beautiful gift that is waiting.
Malachi, is that convincing to you?
Yeah, it answers my question somewhat, but yeah, not really a Catholic myself, but just thought I'd tune in.
Hey, there's always time, Malachi. There's always time.
Keep calling.
We're
keep
ready.
Listening.
We're ready for you. We need you, Malachi.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, God bless you, brother. 888-318-7884. The number, The Beauty of the Sacraments, is our topic. Rose Ray is our guest. She has a brand new book from Sophia Institute Press, Spirit and Life, The Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church. We'll be right back to continue our conversation and to take your calls right after this.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Prayer is a variety of forms of communication. Sometimes we simply greet one another, "Hi, how are you?" And we say small, short prayers similarly to God. Other times we engage people in deep conversations. Other times we engage our families in family reunions and big meals. Similarly with God, we engage him in Eucharist and deep meditation as well.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Rose Ray is our guest. She has her 5 children are in the care of her husband while she is here with us, so she's willing to stay for the entire afternoon.
All day.
We want her. 888-318-7884 is the number. Hey, Catholics, we're the original Bible Christians, but how much do you really know about the Bible? You can get our brand new ebook, The Catholic Answers Guide to Navigating the Bible, for free. Just visit the Catholic Answers Facebook page and look for the free ebook banner up at the top. You'll see Jimmy Akin talking, and you can click on the sound and hear what Jimmy has to say. But we'd love you to have this free ebook, The Catholic Answers Guide to Navigating the Bible. Just head over to the Catholic Answers Facebook page and click on the free ebook banner right now to get your copy. Up next, Bob. Somewhere in the Carolinas. Bob, do we have you there with us?
Yes. Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, you come through the hurricane all right?
No, it was nothing.
Oh, okay. Bob's tough. All right, Bob. Your question for Rose. Where you were. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so I've been going to a Latin Mass recently, and I found it much more reverent than the post-1962 Novus Ordo. And I'm just wondering, I mean, what's your guys' opinions on this, if more Catholics would believe in the real presence of the Eucharist, if we went back to the traditional style Mass that had Latin and the priest with his face facing the altar and his stomach I mean, his back facing the crowd.
Well, post-1969, I mean, the you're using the 62 missile, but I think it was 69 that the Novus Ordo, what's called the Novus Ordo, came to be used, 69 and 70. But what do you think about that?
I think it's a really great question. I think I've had the same question as you. I mean, I don't think there's any coincidence that the holy orders have declined after they made those changes and you lost a lot of future nuns or sisters in the convent. And I dug a little deeper. I don't know if you have read any of Iorta Unum. It's a really beautiful I don't know if the right word to say it. It's not really exactly a book, maybe, but the author is also kind of digging deeper. What are the ramifications of this change? And it's my humble opinion, but I don't think the answer is to all return to Latin Mass. I think that very often those Latin Masses are more reverent. But the answer is we all need to be more reverent. And it would be beautiful if all priests did face the front altar, but it doesn't change the fact that we're getting Jesus. And we can be sad all day long about some things that need to change, but sometimes you have people who are so maybe determined about which way it goes that they're missing that the end all, the be all, the I am is the Eucharist.
I wonder, Bob, I'm sure that you would agree with what Rose said about that the most important thing is the presence of Christ in the Eucharist.
Yes.
But I'll just throw this question back at you, Bob, and just see what you think. Is it possible that increased sense of reverence at the celebration of the Mass in the traditional Latin may have something to do with the fact that it's kind of a self-selecting group that's there. It's a group that's looking for a reverent celebration of the Eucharist, and that even includes the celebrant. That this is that it's kind of a small group that's chosen to do something for the purpose of being more reverent than what they're finding in other places. It may not have to do with the celebration in Latin so much as that the group is selected to be there together to do that.
Well, maybe. It might be also that the priest is more focused and that he goes over to the crowd. But that could be part of it. And I think the Novus Ordo was a well-intentioned effort to help the Mass reach out to the public. But I also think just the prayers themselves and the symbols are more reverent at the Latin Mass.
They're rich, Bob. I will say that. And I think what you said, Si, makes so much sense. The people who are seeking out Latin Mass, Bob, even like yourself, you're understanding the beauty that is before you. You're beholding Christ. And these priests are, you know, they're so reverent. And, you know, it takes it up a whole level. I mean, Latin Mass is stunning.
I have to say, the part about the priests facing, leading the people, not turned towards the people, but leading.
Yes.
I don't like the focus on the back towards the people. The idea is that all are facing towards the cross, really,
right.
is what's happening there. I have to tell you, Bob, I had the experience of that for the first time in my life by accident. I went to Mass at the Chaldean Catholic Cathedral here in San Diego, and the Chaldean priest comes around and celebrates that the consecration that way. And it struck me. I was like, wow. It just, because it was a surprise, I was like, that it just felt right. Like, this is how we're supposed to be doing this. And this was just my personal experience. So I said that to Andrew, our video director here. And because Andrew's a Chaldean Catholic, I said, I love that you Chaldeans do that. And Andrew says to me, we don't do that anymore. So
what?
Much for that. So the Chaldeans switched the other way. Thanks, Andrew, but I am sympathetic to that one, but only because I have a personal experience of that. I have a personal experience of two things. One, kneeling at the altar rail, which I loved doing as a child.
Love it.
And the other was that experience in the Chaldean Cathedral of just suddenly being surprised by it and just it overwhelming me with the feeling of this is the right way to do this. But it's the church is not about our personal preferences, however strong they may be for me. It's about where the Holy Spirit is leading us. So I feel very sympathetic to you, Bob. I do think that reverent celebration of the liturgy is absolutely vital. I am not myself convinced that returning to Latin would do the trick, but I'm not opposed to it either. I'm just not convinced of it. Is that you find that acceptable, Bob?
Yeah, and okay. If any listeners out there, it might be worth trying.
Absolutely.
If you're not satisfied with Novus Ordo, it might be worth trying.
Yeah, another thing, though, if you're not satisfied with the sacraments, you can also ask yourself, why am I not satisfied with the sacraments? I mean, it's true that sometimes they're not reverently celebrated, but they are the most important thing that will ever happen in your life, and you should really go out of your way to not, I don't know, I'm not saying you are, Bob, but for the person who's nitpicking, let it go. Jesus wants higher from us. Rose is giving me a look like, knock it off.
I love it.
Spirit and Life, the Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church, is the new book from Rose Ray and the Sophia Institute Press. I am such a fan of Sophia Institute Press because they make beautiful books, and they've done it again with a fantastic, beautiful book. We're talking about the beauty of the sacraments. I have to say thanks, Bob. We got to go to Bill in Central Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Bill, your question for Rose.
Yes, I had a question about grace, and I maybe just don't have a clear view. I understand Christ dying on the cross for me, but and for my sins, but I don't behave properly day in and day out, and I sin. I mean, here and there, and I'm just confused that if I commit a sin and I don't quite make it to a confessional, and I have a heart attack or car wreck or something like that. What would happen to an individual like me or anybody who is in that position of, still you understand what forgiveness is, but you still don't behave properly?
Yeah, well, what happens to everybody when you die is you come into the presence of perfect mercy. So I don't know what will happen beyond that, but I can assure you, you will be in the presence of perfect mercy. That's where we receive our judgment from. We can sometimes, and I don't mean to talk over you if you wanted to answer this, Rose, but we can have an overly mechanical view of grace sometimes. God is working, and our job is to try to cooperate. And almost universally, we are not trying hard enough. So whatever we're doing, we should try harder to cooperate. But we don't have the means to cooperate except through the power of the sacraments. That's where God gives us the means to cooperate. So you know, what Jesus will say to you after you die, only Jesus knows that. But you should do good and avoid evil and avail yourself of the sacraments at all times.
And just join yourself, Bill, to Jesus' Sacred Heart. I have that picture in my home, and I just gaze upon him. And he knows your heart. He created you. So like Cy said, it doesn't have to be so mechanical, but more out of love. And, you know, if you're reaching out to him and telling him, I am so sorry, you know, please forgive me. And you cannot get to a confession. He hears your words. He hears all of our words. But the gift of confession is getting that persona again of Christ and the priest who is saying, he's laying his hand out and he's saying, I absolve you of your sins. And I just went this morning, so I'm emotional, but it's such a gift to start again. It's beautiful.
Bill, does that help?
Yes, sir, sure does. I think I'm going to head to a confessional.
It's so
God,
great. Go
God
back.
Loves you, Bill. God loves you. Thank you so much. Let's try to get Susan in. Susan in Minnesota, I'm sorry, but we're trying to get as many as we can in before the top of the hour. Can you ask your question somewhat quickly to Rose? Did I go to the wrong line? No, Susan, are you there? Well, I'm sorry, Susan is not there, so we will go to Jennifer in Athens, Georgia, listening on Athens Catholic Radio. Jennifer, delighted to have you. Your question quickly for Rose, please.
Hi, I was just wondering what the church teaches as far as, is it okay to physically receive communion if you've arrived after the penitential act in Mass?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Do you want any more explanation than that?
Any other question?
You can look.
No, I think at an RCIA class, I was told that if you get to Mass late after that penitential act has been said, that you can't receive.
Yeah, that's a lot of Catholics have been taught very interesting things about when you can and can't receive communion. If you are walking by a church and you hear them ring the bells for the consecration and you would like to receive communion, you can go in and receive communion. Catholics are free to receive communion, even if they're not attending that Mass. I think where people get confused is what meets your Sunday obligation? See, that's a different question. But if you want to receive communion, go receive communion. If you are in a state of grace, you are welcome to receive communion. But the second time you receive communion, you have to go to Mass. You have to be there for the whole Mass. But for the first time of the day, you may just go up and receive communion. As far as meeting your Sunday obligation, yeah. I don't know the answer to that. I never can figure out the answer to that. You got anything?
Yeah, you know, I've read numerous things. You know, a priest in Chicago just said, hey, thank God you're at Mass when everyone's leaving. But we still have to have some sort of order. So yeah. I would just ask your priest.
I mean, you are required to get there at the beginning of Mass, but you're not always going to get there at the beginning of Mass. So you can go receive communion, Jennifer.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, sister. Thank you for the call. Father Paul Keller, Dominican Father Paul Keller, will be here next hour, and it will be open forum. So if you've got a question and you're still on the line, you can stay on the line. We'll get to your question next hour with Father Paul Jerome Keller. This hour, Rose Ray has been our guest. The book is Spirit and Life, the Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church. It's beautiful. If you get it and leave it on the coffee table, I cannot see how that would hurt any part of the spiritual life of your family. Rose, thanks very, very much.
Thank you so much, Si.
You can get the book by just going to Sophia Institute Press or just go to sophiainstitute.com. Again, the book is Spirit and Life, the Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church. Hang on, we'll be right back for a bonus open forum with Father Paul Jerome Keller right after this on Catholic Answers Live.